here at Sycamore Glen, we actually like to think of ourselves as a senior resort.
Every day is just like home. It is home. I love it here.
We encourage people to come down and visit us and to take a tour, to look around, to have lunch on us or dinner on us and experience Sycamore Glen. Not the lifestyle you need, but the lifestyle you've earned.
That's Sycamore Glen. For more information, call 894-0384.
The great news of the gospel in Jesus Christ, and we have in the studio today Craig Anderson from YWAM, another YWAMer, except this time we have one who happens to be one of the head leaders. So, good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
And tell us a little bit about who Craig Anderson is.
Well, let's see. I was born in the area, grew up in the Sacramento area. A lot of Sacramento and Auburn, California. After living there for a season, growing up there, called into missions, I guess, many years ago. And my wife and I made that journey in 1994. We moved to Austria, and in 2009, we moved back here. And married, have three kids. Living the calling to serve the Lord and missions full time.
What drove you to wanting to do YWAM or wanting to do missionary work that led you to Australia?
I think when I was a teenager, you kind of come to that point at the end of high school where you're looking for what's the call of God on your life. And in my case, I spent a year every week with a different idea of what I was going to do. And by the time I came to the end of that year, I came to the conclusion that the thing I had become most passionate about in high school was really our youth group. It was a very life-changing, life-transformational time for me. Being in youth group, especially the first 2 years, was really where God solidified my relationship with Him, sense of relationship with God, relationship in a community setting. With the youth group, and so it was very transformational for me personally. So when I came to the end of high school, I finally came to the conclusion, you know what I want to do is I want to be a youth pastor. And I want to spend my life doing youth ministry. This is the call of God on my life, and it's what I want to do. So I took a year off of high school, was spending a lot of time doing youth work in a part-time way as an assistant youth leader. And after doing that for a season, then I entered Bible college. I went to a college in Sacramento. It was called Trinity Life Bible College back in the day, and it's called Epic Bible College now. And after graduating from Bible college and just in prayer, I was just looking for what the next step was. I didn't really want to go out and candidate to be a youth pastor at a different church. I really wanted to pour into the church I had grown up in, and we had a youth leader, and I was assisting him. And just as I began praying about what to do next, I just had a sense that I should go do a discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission. And so that's what, as I was just praying into that, we had had people in our church that had done that. And when I just spent time praying, I just kind of thought, this makes great sense as kind of a next step. Had been on a couple of short mission trips, and I thought, okay, well, I'll give a longer thing some time. And went to Kona, Hawaii. And during that time, God really transformed my perspective. I was kind of on this trajectory for youth ministry, and then when I was living in Hawaii and just serving with young people and living in community, and we were going out to Fiji and other places, and it was just such a transformational experience about the call to live missions and to do that in a community setting with other young people. It completely changed the trajectory of my life. At that point, I knew this is what I want to do with my life, is I want to be in full-time missions. But I knew that at the end of that season, God was calling me back to my local church to serve for a season. Our youth pastor had stepped down. So I went back and accepted a position there and served for a year and a half. During that year and a half, I got to know the person that became my wife better, and we got married. We actually got married a year to the day that I got back from my discipleship training school. And our church was in transition at that point, and we stayed and served through the transition. And 6 months later, we left and joined Youth with a Mission. That was in September of 1992. We did that. And so really since then, that's been how God kind of pulled me into missions, is really just kind of a gradual process. Initially, it was youth ministry, and that morphed into missions with young people. And then after walking through that process, then we've joined and been doing that since that time.
So you never thought about work or anything? You always had it on your heart and mind ministry?
Yeah, it never, you know, once I shifted into that mode, it was really never about going back and getting a job or getting a career of some kind. You know, I mean, we're always want to be open to what God would show us to do next. And I wouldn't rule that out as something that God couldn't do someday in my life. But at this point, my understanding is that, you know, we've been called to full-time missions, and you know, so we're continuing to walk in that and pursue what God has for us in that area. Yeah.
So for you being in ministry, what have been some of the challenges that you have experienced as far as being involved in YWAM and what God has done in your life over the last few years that you've been involved with YWAM? What have been some of the challenges where you've experienced maybe a couple testaments, or where you experienced great victory and have a report of some things that God has maybe brought you through or showed you or helped you to where you are now?
Well, I would say, you know, probably, you know, one that comes to my mind, you know, just right off the top of my head, I think, you know, most people in missions and maybe most people in life always have the battle of what about finances? You know, how do you sustain yourself financially? Whether you have a career and you're trying to make ends meet, or whether you're in missions, it's a similar kind of thing. As missionaries with Youth with a Mission, we've always had to raise our full support. And when we started, we had, I think, around $150 a month. We went out to Hawaii, and as a couple, we were living on that. Now, we were living in community, so the expenses weren't real high, and that just barely covered the expenses. I think our first year in missions, we made it financially.
Year was that you could survive on $150 a month? You can barely, you know, $150 a day now.
Yeah, that was 1992. Yeah, from 1992 to 1994, we had $150, maybe up to $200 a month. I think we made it through the first year because we had a tax return that came back, you know, and so that gave kind of a bumper amount. We lived in community, so the expenses were lower. I think maybe, you know, our expenses were maybe $150 a month, and that gave us three meals a day in a room. And so we would be living on the YWAM campus in Hawaii for 3 months. And when we left to go on outreach, we didn't have to pay the staff fee. So we could raise money to go on outreach. And so the first year we were able to do that because of the tax return. And the second year we had to have donations, you know, somebody just out of the blue, I think another student in the school gave us $970 to help pay for our outreach cost. And so then your little bit of money could add up in the bank account. So when you got back, you had enough money to do the staff fees. And so we kind of lived that way for a couple of years. It was a transition. We didn't have cars. We didn't have our own personal transportation. And, you know, there was that season of testing. When we transitioned to Austria, we were going to have more money. So, I mean, we went back and communicated again. And it was kind of like it was miraculous. It was, you know, people that we were in relationship with had new jobs or got promotions. And so all of a sudden people that didn't have money when we first started had money and wanted to support us, or somebody's life's change, went through a life situation change. And so maybe they didn't have as many expenses. And so then we were able to, but even in Austria, we were surviving on maybe $650, $700 a month. And that was for a few years. And just slowly as our needs went up, there was increase, you know, so that's been kind of one of the things we've watched, is just as we've gone through different seasons of life, God's added when we needed it added. And
isn't, you know, that how he always works?
Yeah, I would say so. But there are, you know, along the way, there's a lot of time of, you know, where you're crying out to God, you know, and I know I'm sure we've all been there. You're staring at some bills and you realize, I don't know where this money's going to come from, to pay this. And then somehow or other, miraculously, God provides and the income comes in and, God sustains you. And so there were those seasons. And then, you know, we've had other seasons in missions where the support actually came together at a whole different level, and we felt very well supported. About the time we left Austria, actually things were finally clicking really well financially. We had good financial support. We had some people in Austria that were supporting us, and they were extremely generous. And then there were just some other things that were working out financially in Austria, and so things were going really good. That probably that last year, we were kind of like, man, we've never had this much income. And then in the midst of that, then God said, okay, now it's time for a change. And so we transitioned back to our current role, and God's continued to sustain us and provide for us. But there was kind of this season where it was like, wow, I mean, we're just saving money in the bank account because, you know, we just don't need to spend it or whatever, or giving it away to different situations.
So using wisdom,
yeah. But just, that'd be just, you know, one of the big, you know, walks of faith in missions has just been the adventure of faith and finances, and just seeing God's miraculous provision throughout the time.
So you went to Austria. What happened while you were in Austria? What did God do in you, and how did He work through you in reaching people in Austria? What were you involved with in Austria, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, when we first went, our dream and our vision was really to start a training center. We just, you know, that's what attracted us to YWAM in the first place, was this concept of, you've got this community, there's a bunch of people living in community, loving, worshiping Jesus, receiving teaching, and then going out and doing mission work. And so, although we were enjoying that in Hawaii, we just, you know, we came to a place where we knew God was calling us to do that somewhere else. And so we wanted to go somewhere where there was a need for that, in a country, in a situation that didn't have that. And so we through the process of God guiding us, we ended up in Austria in September 94, and they were looking for somebody to come in and build that. And so that's really what we went there to do. And we spent our first year really pursuing that dream. We were able to build small communities. We were able to run some YWAM training courses. We were able to do some of the things we wanted to do, but we never were able to fully turn the corner to build a permanent, long-term, sustainable thing at the level we had imagined and dreamed, you know. And so that's a challenge, you know. And so probably about the time we reached at the end of the 7 years, we had to kind of walk through a death of a vision process where we realized, you know, that the thing we've really been carrying, we've got to let that go. And so we had kind of reached that point. But that first 7 years, we spent a lot of time doing that. And there were people we did train. We ran several courses. We trained people for missions. We did mission work down into Bosnia and Croatia. And that was right when the war was going on there, or as it was ending, actually. So there were opportunities, and there was other youth stuff that we did. So there were good things that we got to do. But, you know, that core piece in our heart that we were pouring ourselves into, there were elements of it that worked, but, you know, other elements of disappointment or not seeing the dream come together the way we had imagined. So we walked through some burnout for 6 months, and some processing and some resting, and we took a break in the States with family, and then went back after that 6 months and kind of poured into another 7 years. And my ministry focus really shifted. We ran probably another couple small schools, and we still had space where a handful of people could live in community, but the nature of ministry became much more networking. It had to do much more with partnering with different coalitions that were in Central Europe or Austria that were leaders from different movements or mission agencies that were coming together around certain projects. Mm-hmm. And so so in a sense, ministry changed. It became much more ministry through influence, ministry through networking, than ministry by leading a community or a strong team that was doing a variety of things. And so that's really when ministry changed for us. So we were involved in a John Maxwell leadership training program, which was a 3-year course that we were helping to facilitate, that was a nationwide thing that was training pastors and other Christian leaders in leadership principles based on John Maxwell's training. It was something initiated by his organization
equip that they were running worldwide. And so I was part of the team that was coordinating that for Austria. I was part of a youth ministry team that was coordinating youth prayer events that were running periodically, that were bringing youth from all over the country together. They were the largest youth events in the country as we were all coming together around the topic of prayer. So it was very interesting that the largest Christian youth events were prayer events more so than other kinds of things.
Yeah. So you've got John Maxwell's training based upon godly principles.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's where he got it.
That's where he got it. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So you were working with what type of people in Austria? I mean, you said different networking groups. Do you want to talk about one of the groups that you were working with?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that was very distinctive about Austria, certainly coming from my background, was that Austria is primarily a Catholic nation. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that, that it makes it unique when you you compare it to some of the other nations. I mean, obviously, there's many Catholic nations in Europe, but Austria is a German-speaking country, and Germany is primarily known for the Protestant Reformation. I mean, that's where Luther was, and so it's known kind of as a Protestant country, although there's a strong Catholic base, especially in the south in Germany. But Austria was over 80% Catholic when we came there. And when YWAM, years before we got there, when they came into Austria, they felt that God gave them a clear direction as they were looking for how they were to set up ministry. The Lord spoke to them very clearly about working with Catholics, not just working with Catholics with the vision that maybe these Catholics would one day become Protestants, but taking a look at how can we come alongside Catholic parishes, Catholic prayer groups, Catholic discipleship groups, small groups, and other types of structures, and provide evangelism and discipleship in and with these groups to kind of strengthen them so that they become passionate followers of Jesus and to work in that way. And so that was a very distinctive thing that we did when we joined YWAM Austria. They'd been doing that for many years. They'd actually developed a discipleship program, actually a 1.5 to 2 year program that where they would come and they would work with a group like that, a group that was maybe 50 to 100 people.
We're going to take a second.
All right.
Yeah. Go to break.
Go to break.
All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
Reeve Woods Eye Center provides quality care with two convenient locations, West East Avenue in Chico and Pence Road in Paradise. A premium ophthalmology practice specializing in cataracts, glaucoma, diabetic eye care, and a full-service optical department to fulfill all your eye care needs. Their family of intraocular lenses offer and meet a variety of visual needs for cataract patients. Reeve Woods Eye Center, providing outstanding quality care to the North Valley for over 30 years. Most insurances accepted and always accepting new patients in both locations. Reeve Woods Eye Center. For appointments or information, call their Chico office at 899-2244 or 877-6583 in Paradise. The goal at Reeve Woods Eye Center is great vision for your life.
Welcome back, listeners, to Christ Today on KKXX Radio. You're listening to your host, Curtis Smith, along with Craig Anderson from YWAM, and I'm Tori Tipp. And we're so grateful that you're listening to Christ Today. And Craig, you were just talking about how you were over working with the Catholics and right alongside of them and celebrating Jesus and bringing that connection together. Pick up there and where you left off.
Yeah, so while we were in Austria, that was one of the very unique and distinctive things about the ministry there was really looking for partnerships and ways to come alongside the Catholic Church and strengthen the evangelism and discipleship within the Catholic Church and with a variety of groups. And so YWAM had developed a 1.5 to 2 year program where they could work with a group of people that wanted deeper discipleship and take people through topics such as Father Heart of God or intercession, evangelism, relationships, and they would do a different topic for a whole weekend, complete with small groups, and really run a discipleship training school over that year and a half, and as well as some leadership training to really help form them into a discipleship community that would continue to walk with people and evangelize and disciple and continue to grow. And so that was an exciting program they had. And when we came, you know, we were running the discipleship training schools we were running were. We're partnering with that. We had a lot of Catholic students in our schools as well as Protestants, and so there was a real sense of unity in the body of Christ that we were stepping into and really bringing these groups together. and which was really a distinctive of Austria. I think in a lot of ways, one of the things that amazed me being there is just what was going on in terms of Catholics and Protestants working together in prayer, in worship events, but even in evangelism by the time we left was just incredible, just to see the way that they had paved the way for that. And it wasn't just based on let's reduce everything to the lowest common denominator and get everybody together at a very superficial level. They had these leaders from all of these groups, you know, Pentecostal leaders, Baptist leaders, non-denominational church leaders, as well as official representatives from the Catholic Church and Lutheran churches, that would meet regularly and pray together and hear each other's stories and even discuss hard issues. You know, where you might have a leader that would be so upset over an issue, whether it was it could be an issue of baptism or communion or some other touchy issue, the various viewpoints, and they might walk out of the room upset. But then later they're back at the table and talking, not just negotiating, but talking and really building heart relationships with one another. And there were some really huge, powerful events that came out of that that were incredible as far as things that we saw in Austria during that time.
Now, that's exciting to me to hear about those building of bridges between denominations, because when we come together as a body of Christ and function wholly, not just the arm working on its own or the leg trying to do what it's supposed to do, but we come together collectively as a body of Christ, bringing those denominations together. Think about how the Lord will be able to flow in and through His entire body like that. That's what I've had a dream of all my life, that I could feel the Lord impressing on me, that when we break down the barriers of denominational walls and unite in Christ, how exciting is that?
Yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah. To welcome back and, for looking for the returning of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, then we need to be as a church that's without blemish, without spot or wrinkle. We need to be united in Him.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I could share, one of the things that was really powerful, I mean, the cardinal of the Catholic Church there is an incredible man of peace and a man of incredible humility, and at his invitation, he opened up St. Stephen's Cathedral, which is the central cathedral in downtown Vienna. It's an amazing, beautiful cathedral, but there were several events that were there, and one of the events that I remember is the body of Christ gathered at his invitation and came together, and what you had is you had, for example, a stage that was set up in the middle of the middle of the church. We all came together, and we were given a rock as we entered the building. So we held this rock in our hands throughout the whole service. And in the service, Vineyard, I think, led the worship. A Baptist preacher gave a message. The cardinal gave a message. And there were a variety of elements from different churches and different groups that were there. And so although the cardinal had opened it up, he wasn't presiding over it. He was attending and providing leadership alongside, but not over. It was really a powerful time. And it was a reconciliation event. And to a degree, we were all holding a stone, which kind of represented our own maybe contribution or responsibility towards the brokenness in the body of Christ. So we carried this weight, so to speak, throughout the service. And at the end, they had representatives of different churches, a Catholic representative, a Lutheran, a Baptist, a Pentecostal, that prayed out a prayer of repentance and apology for the contribution they had made towards the brokenness in the body of Christ. And on the back of the program, the Catholic Church had printed an official apology for the Counter-Reformation that took place in Austria. And so there was just one example of this powerful event. And there were thousands of people that attended this from all these various church traditions that came together really to worship Jesus around the person of Jesus Christ. The cross was the central element in the church. And we actually held the event at the center of the church, which was designed as a cross. So it was actually at the point of crossing in the center of the church is where the stage was. So it was this very unique, powerful time of coming together in worship and prayer and repentance and asking God ultimately for blessing on the nation, that God would send revival, that as we come together as the body, that He would be able to pour out His blessing of on that unity to see transformation come into the nation.
Hallelujah.
That's awesome. And you saw that. And you were able to get people from the Catholic Church join with YWAM?
We did. Prior to that time and even after that, there were just different training schools we ran. We tried to, when we ran our discipleship training schools, We tried to run them in a fairly sensitive fashion so that people could come in from a variety of backgrounds. So we usually had Catholics and Protestants together as students, mixing it up in the school. We would have speakers from a variety of backgrounds, and we'd usually have a special emphasis week in there that was really to unpack the differences between Catholic and Protestant spirituality and begin exploring that a little bit so that we could build a deeper sense of unity and trust and love for one another before we went out and did the mission work.
What causes such a division here in the United States with the different churches and faiths, do you believe?
Well, that's probably a really complicated topic, and I don't know that would be how much I can comment on that, certainly from a place of expertise. I think, you know, some division certainly comes about because of theological disagreement. I think some of it comes about because of maybe it's not theology, but it's values. It's the way I like to do it versus the way you like to do it. I think sometimes division comes about whether it's in my own life or in a team or between churches. Sometimes it comes about just because we're not walking in humility towards one another, or, you know, one person wants to be in charge, or, you know, whatever it is. I think, you know, there's probably a whole spectrum of answers as to why that is, and what occurred in a specific scenario probably is unique to that scenario, but those tend to be some of the factors, I would think.
Oh, I think you gave the answer, and when you spoke on division, because when we are focusing on what's different about each other, mm-hmm. there was bound to be division. There is bound to be people that feel one way about healing, and somebody might feel a different way about healing. But when we focus on what we do agree on, mm-hmm. and celebrate that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that it's all about Him anyway.
Amen.
But because without Jesus, we have no hope. There is no future. We have no hope of eternal life. So when we focus, come together collectively on what we do agree on, then the unity will come in. And if we can stay focused on that, the other things outside of Jesus, you know, that's, you know, because it really all is about Him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, other things, they're wonderful, that the blessings that are in the Word and all that we have in Christ. But collectively coming together in Christ, then those other things we can, you know, work on later, but we have to be united in Him.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I guess the challenge is, how do you walk unity and diversity? You know, how do you have and learning to walk
in love
and walk in love, and creating space for, you know, there are going to be different tribes. There's going to be, you know, space for different groups to explore certain elements that are more important to them, or where they've got revelation and that's going to be their path. And so you have different tribes, you have different families within the body of Christ, but also then trying to figure out the responsibility to be one church, or to be one body that's together in love, unified around the person of Jesus Christ, and learning to walk in unity and diversity. Yeah.
Well said.
Anything you want to?
I think Craig hit it right on the head there of how he his explanation of it and about being united. So we're to me, it really doesn't matter. I mean, somebody asked me, I've been asked several times recently, is like, well, what denomination are you? What, you know, church do you go to? And I really don't, have a denomination or anything like that. I mean, I guess I'm non-denomination, if anything, and not because I'm a non-denominational church person, but just because I'm a follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's what our family heart is, with myself and my family, is just that we're a follower of Jesus, mm-hmm. and the other part doesn't really matter to me, mm-hmm. Where you go, but whose you are.
Yeah, that's excellent. I was at a different type of a conference once, and this was also a great example. They were actually talking about cultural reconciliation. This person was talking about some of the brokenness that happened in Rwanda and bringing different cultures together. But one of the things that she had done in the thing was in maybe a seminar or a healing group she'd been part, not I mean a healing group in terms of different cultures coming together to explore the brokenness between their cultures. one of the things she talked about is she used the example of, you know, and as we come in as Christians, we all belong to the kingdom of God, and that should be our big flag. And then whatever culture we belong to, that's kind of a little flag. So that's it's not that it's not embroidered on our robe, that uniqueness, that different culture, we can be proud of that part and rejoice in that, but recognizing that the big thing is the fact that we're all members of the kingdom, and that's where our citizenship is. And I think probably this similar type of example applies as well with church or denomination, that it's about the kingdom, and then I have, but I do have these distinctive tribes, and I love those uniquenesses. But right. I want to love the whole kingdom as the greater reality.
He didn't give us all the same personality.
Yeah,
We're all different. I mean, there's three different people here. Curtis and I have a little bit different personality, and you as well. I mean, he puts his own fingerprint on us. He makes us special, mm-hmm. and we're the only ones. I'm the only Tory tip that's ever going to be, you know. Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, absolutely. I don't even have a twin. Even twins are different, you know. So he makes us all special.
Yeah, powerful.
So let's talk about since you came back from Austria and you've been at the YWAM base now for 14 years. What has God been doing with you as a big part of it? Because I know you're not the only one. There's four of you. What's God been doing with you and showing you since you've been back at the YWAM base, or the different people that you've been dealing with and stuff? Is there anything God has particularly been showing you or working on you with in regards to having switched over from Austria now to the United States to the YWAM base up in Richardson Springs?
Well, yeah, we've been back in the U.S. now for 6 years. We came back from Austria in 2009. So we started in Chico in August 1st, 2009. So it's been 6 years. I mean, some of the differences for me as far as in Austria, we really had a much smaller operation where it was much more loosely structured in terms of what we did, especially that 7 years where I was doing a lot of networking. You'd network here, you'd network there. Kind of worked your own hours. There wasn't necessarily a whole lot of accountability and really much to measure things by in terms of structure. That was a very different operation than to coming back to in what's an almost 500-acre campus with 80-plus buildings and a staff of 50 to 60 people plus students. And it's just a completely different situation. Both, though, rooted in our YWAM foundational values, both rooted in a call and a commitment to missions. And so this has just been a very different experience in learning what it means to operate in a larger structure and minister in that environment. My primary role since coming back has really been to serve a lot administratively, working a lot with the structure itself, overseeing personnel, overseeing finances, working with the media side and IT and some of those kind of things. And so I've come back much more in a different type of management role. I think one of the things that's really grown and developed for me as a passion in my current thing is really looking at the development of this whole ministry and what God's calling us to be as in terms of our mission work into the world and our training work. But one of the special emphases that's come up, that's become a passion of mine, is really taking a look at what kind of resources has God given us that we need to be very good stewards of in terms of the land and the facilities and the ministry we have, and how do we maximize that from a stewardship perspective. And so I'm beginning to learn about who I am as a steward and what does it mean to walk in good stewardship and how to not just take care of things and hold something together, but how do you take that and work with it so that there's increase and so that there's growth for the sake of the kingdom.
Maybe we could go to another break and come back and talk about that.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lions Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lions Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lions Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.
Welcome back, and we were just talking about stewardship. Craig, pick up where you left off there just before we went to the break.
Well, one of the things we're talking about that's become kind of a passion of mine since coming back to California, especially at this unique campus that we have in Chico with Youth with a Mission, is just the stewardship of resources, the stewardship of the campus. And basically, I've more or less stumbled into it by being there. Some of the resources that we have that we're stewarding is not just we have the buildings and we have the land, but really taking a look at what has God given us and how do we maximize that for the kingdom of God. And some of those things, a few years ago, for example, we felt led that we were to purchase the rest of the mineral rights. We only owned half of the mineral rights, which meant that, you know, should we discover something of value on the land someday.
Like gold
or something like that, it would have been awkward. And so the Lord led us through a process where we purchased some mineral rights back. We have a hydroelectric power plant. We have our own public water system that we manage in wells. We have a wastewater treatment plant that we manage out there, as well as a fleet of vehicles. It's very different. In Austria, it was kind of like we were happy if we had one car, you know. And so now there's a fleet of cars that have to be managed, some that are only on the base, some that go into town. There's other equipment. And so there's just all of a sudden this different reality. And yet taking a look at what are the resources God's given us, how do we step into those, first of all, prayerfully, but then also in wisdom and how we manage and steward them so that there can be increase, so that the resources grow, so that we take, in a sense, our five talents or our three talents and multiply them so that five turns into 10 and so that we can be entrusted with more. Mm-hmm. And doing it not just so, hey, wouldn't it be nice to have more money, but so that we can really advance the kingdom of God. You know, we have, whether it's infrastructure that's very old out there that needs to be upgraded. For example, we're halfway through a road project, or whether it's taking a look at how do we increase our scholarship fund so we can receive more students that can't afford to do DTS, or what about missions projects internationally where we're going to need to fund some things, to fund some missionaries, to fund some projects overseas. What about all the funding that's needed to do that and build at a different level? So we're just really trying to take a look at, for that to happen, for the kingdom of God to expand, there's a variety of pieces, but certainly resources are an important factor to see that developed and released, and just the calling to manage resources well, not just so the bills get paid, but so that there's increase and so that there's productivity and so that there's growth for the sake of the whole and for the sake of the kingdom.
Okay. Tori, you have anything you want to ask?
Well, no, that not that point. Man, I was like really, you had me like hook, line, and sinker there. So is there anything specific that maybe you could share with our listeners about stewardship? Because I find that in the body of Christ and even outside the body of Christ, just being good stewards of what the Lord has given us and to be able to turn that and multiply that into increase to where we're not chasing after the dollar or living month to month, but to have that multiply into our lives, and so we're not always concerned about money.
Yeah, well, I think some of the things, I guess, as far as walking through even my own history and some of the struggles I've had even in missions maybe prepared me for this, but one of them, I think, you know, we hear a lot about this is the principle of generosity. You know, just recognizing that there's a call to generosity, that, you know, if God entrusts us with wealth or God entrusts us with resources, he wants us to not just hoard that, but to be generous with that. You know, whether we talk about tithing or whether you talk about giving offerings or however that comes together, but there's a generosity principle. And my desire is that as a mission, as a ministry, we're walking at generosity to a level, but I hope that we haven't seen anything yet. My desire is that the blessing on the finances, the blessing on the resources would come to a point where we could be incredibly generous at a mind-blowing level. So that's one of my personal goals that I'm hoping for. Second one is I think you have to walk in integrity with what you have. There's a principle of being honest, faithful with what you have, walking in integrity. Are we being honest with what we have? Are we hiding things? Are we doing things that we shouldn't be doing? Or you know, to what degree are we walking in integrity so that the blessing of God can come on that because we're walking in the light in the things that we're doing? So that's a second thing. And then a third thing, I think, that has been a big part of what's happened out there is just really taking a look at, you know, where could we cut expenses without necessarily cutting quality? You know, and that's a good point. You know, and so energy systems has been a big passion of mine going after that. And so one of the areas that I've really been working hard on, you know, we've got these, let's call them antique boilers that provide heating out there. And they're very, very expensive to run. The problem is because in our case, so many of the power meters and energy metering and all that kind of stuff is so interwoven, you can't tell which building is necessarily your problem. It's just all on and you've got a problem. But just had a conviction that we've got to swap out some very old equipment that's very inefficient. And so we came in and made some choices to say, listen, what would it take to have to not turn that boiler on or to only have to turn it on once in a while? Well, we could have a quick win if we put a heater in this part of the building, just a small heating system for the offices, if we changed a couple pieces of equipment in the kitchen, and if we got another water heater. So if we swapped out a few of these things, then we wouldn't have to turn the boiler on very much. And by doing that, we immediately saved thousands and thousands of dollars. I think our payback was probably 3 months.
Wow.
You know, I mean, that's how quick the payback was. And we then to finally get off, we had a boiler in another building that was breaking all the time. We're paying a lot of money in repairs, and it was just using a lot of fuel. So again, we bought some heaters and we bought some water heaters so that we wouldn't have to run the boiler. Same thing on the hotel building. Actually, we were in the middle of that project when the boiler broke on the hotel building. And so the main thing we needed to do was change it for hot water heaters, and repairing the boiler was going to cost as much or more as getting some hot water heaters in there. So we kind of bit the bullet and took a step of faith and bought all of that equipment. And I think that there's several tens of thousands of dollars we'll be saving on an annual basis just because the propane we use is so much cheaper than the diesel that the boiler was using. And the efficiency was just incredible in let's say, an 80, 90-year-old boiler system with all of the pipes and steam equipment that we were just losing a lot of money. So there's been some things like that we've changed where we're seeing a fairly quick payback. And so hopefully that's a stewardship where our utility bills have just come down a lot, and just continuing to go after that. We have a hydroelectric power plant, which provides us some renewable energy. We've got that switched over to a net metering contract, but it keeps breaking every once in a while. So we're trying to dial that in because there's a lot of potential, although hydro power doesn't do you a lot of good when you've got a drought.
Yeah.
So anyhow, we're exploring other things, solar panels and other ideas, to try and take a look at what would it take to get the right equipment in here so that ultimately my dream is that we won't have any energy bills. In other words, we'll get to a point where we've got a zero energy bill on an annual basis, because that's all that money that I can then pour back into the ministry.
It's very doable.
Yeah, and exactly. And getting back into a place where the upgrades on the infrastructure that we need in other places, that we can do that for the quality of the retreats that we offer and for the quality of the training that we do. But also then, when you're saving that money on an annual basis, and it's an awful lot of money when you've got a 500-acre campus and 80-plus buildings, that's a lot of money that then could be sowed every year right back into the kingdom of God for the expansion and multiplication of the kingdom. And so this is very important to me, because it's not just about, hey, let's save some money. It's about all that money that gets saved can then become kingdom resources. And it'll become kingdom resources basically for decades to come on into the future. And that's just one example of something that I've been trying to work on.
And in regards to stewardship, one of the things is not just giving of money, but also giving of time and giving of talents. And I see a lot of goes on up at the Springs, goes on up at Richardson Springs. And I've seen that you have a big part in that, because you're part of what decides who comes and what comes to the Springs in order to be of help, in order to do things that need to be done around there. What have been some ideas or some things that have been creative ideas or creative ways where the Lord has showed you, along with the rest of the team, how to continue to bring those that are gifted to different things that they can be involved in and yet offer their talents and their gifts at the same time to advance the kingdom? You want to talk about that?
Yeah, well, we have a few different things. I think one of the things that's interesting about us as a community is that we have a lot of people that are just generally helpful. In other words, we're not necessarily a community of specialists. You know, sometimes, you know, if you've got a business and you've got some salary available, you go hire the specific person you need for that job, and you go through whatever hiring process you would go through to make sure you've got the most qualified person you can afford to step into that role. Whereas in our case, you know, as a spiritual community, we have a lot of people that come that maybe aren't particularly gifted or skilled in any kind of way. They're willing to help, and so that's one fairly large category of what makes up our community, is just willing people that are willing to pitch in and help. Then God does add to us in different ways, specialists, you know, people that come in, maybe they're retired people, or maybe they're not retired, they're taking a few weeks off or a few months off of work, or they're independently wealthy or whatever. And so they'll come out with their specialization. We have a volunteer program we call Mission Builders. Mission Builders allows us to receive people for a couple weeks up to a couple months. So they're not people that are joining YWAM for the rest of their life. They're not going to be full-time, but they'll come and serve for a couple of weeks and just help out on the campus and participate in the community life and the various things we're doing, or they might even stay a couple of months. And those people, if they come, some people that are just generally willing to help, they might help us with housekeeping, or they might help us in the kitchen or in grounds or light maintenance work. And then when we get specialists that want to come, whether we have electricians or welders or plumbers or carpenters, then they're able to help us with other types of projects that need to be done. Like, you know, as we've mentioned before, the facility is fairly old. Most of the buildings were built in the early 1900s, maybe up into the 1920s. This is when just about all of the buildings went in. So you're talking about buildings that are pushing 100 years old. Pipes in the ground that are 100 years old, just a lot of infrastructure that's 100 years old, a road that's probably 100 years old or so, and by the grace of God, we were just able to recently repave half of it, or just about half of it. So we have these volunteer programs that allow people to come in. Sometimes they're specialists, and we can always use that because that really helps us to move things forward quickly when we've got skilled people, and then people that are generally willing to help are also a huge blessing to us as well.
Okay, one of the things that you just got done mentioning was the repair of the road, and I know that some of the neighbors up there got involved, but how did the neighbors feel impressed, or how did they decide to get involved with helping repair the road and give into YWAM so that YWAM could get the road repaired? What was it that you guys did to get the neighbors on board with you?
You know, we kind of called a community meeting and invited everybody up and just had a conversation and said, hey, you know, we'd love to do the road. We actually, our dream is to do the whole road. I mean, anybody who's ever driven out there realizes after you get about 3/4 of a mile up the road's really broken, and it's basically you're just going from one pothole to the next for the next 3.2 miles. And you know, you have a lot of car damage that comes that way and other things. I guess it keeps the speed down. It's like a natural speed bump system, but it's a mess and it needs to be taken care of. So we had a meeting and we had a conversation to talk about it. We invited participation. We're not an assessment district, so we didn't approach anything from a who owes how much. It was simply a conversation to say, this is what we would like to do. Anybody that would like to give generously to it, we would welcome those contributions to help, you know, pay for the portion. And many people responded to that, and so it was exciting that we were able to step into that. We're still tweaking a few things, and there's a little bit more that needs to be done on some of what we've already done to get it into the shape we want it in. But we're just very excited that we have a much better surface, and the biggest improvement was really the first mile of really bad road we were able to do. And so that's kind of where that's at, yeah.
Let's go ahead and take our last break, and we'll be right back on Christ Today.
Okay, cool.
Just call Royal Land.
The leaves are falling and the nights are getting cooler. Is your furnace running properly or not working at all? Don't be left out in the cold this season. Just call Royal Air at 899-9999 and they'll be right over. Owner Royal Honkley's NATE certified technicians can visit with you about your specific heating needs or a new Lennox home comfort system. Just call Royal Air, your authorized Lennox dealership, at 899-9999.
Welcome back, listeners, to Christ Today, where you're tuning in and hearing Craig Anderson, base director of Chico YWAM. And Craig, how does somebody get involved with YWAM? They've heard your testimony, what you have going up at Richardson Springs, and how would they get involved, whether they want to come out for a couple of days, couple of weeks, and maybe they want to go ahead and give into the mission of YWAM and what you're doing?
Yeah, well, I guess there's several ways to get involved. If a person's looking for participation, you'd like to join us for a shorter, longer time, there's a few different things. One is that, again, our program, which is called Mission Builders, it allows us to bring people in. That's really what we call our short-term volunteering program. So if a person thinks, hey, I'd love to come up there and serve for a couple weeks, then you could contact us. You could either go on our website, which is ywamchico.com. It's ywamchico.com. You could go to our website, or you could call our front desk and get connected with our Mission Builder coordinator, who could get you an application to come and serve short term. I can give that contact information a little bit later. But if you're interested in that, you can do that on a short term basis. We also have a team out there that coordinates mission trips to Mexico, and they go all year round. They go work at an orphanage some weeks, and other weeks they're building homes for the poor. They can put a home up in less than a week with a small team of people. So if you're interested in that kind of ministry, that's Mexico Adventures. Again, ywamchico.com, or calling our front desk, and we could connect you with Mexico Adventures. And those are short-term opportunities we have. Usually once or twice a month, we will have a Tuesday evening meeting where we just kind of have an open evening where it's worship, and there'll be some kind of a message, often on a missions type of topic. Those meetings usually start at 6 o'clock. And if you're interested in that, you can call the front desk at 893, or area code 530-893-6750. It's 530-893-6750. And you could ask and find out if the Tuesday evening meeting that particular night is going to be an open meeting. Sometimes we don't have a Tuesday evening meeting, so it's good to call before you drive out the road. So that's those are some shorter term opportunities. People that feel like, you know what, I think I might have a call to missions, or I'd love to spend a longer time in missions, then the program that's really our entry level course, which is really the course that all of us have gone through that have decided to join YWAM full time or decided that we wanted to do further training with YWAM, we call it Discipleship Training School. We run that for a college age person, kind of that 18 to 25 range. And then we also have a second version of that we call a Crossroads Discipleship Training School. And that's for people over 30 all the way up to retirement age, families with kids, et cetera. And we run those programs twice a year. It involves kind of a three-month Bible school, a three-month missions training school, kind of Bible school of the heart with a variety of different themes. That's about 3 months long, followed by a two-month mission trip where you go to another country. We currently have two groups of students that are going to be leaving in about a week and a half. And one group will be ministering in South Africa for 2 months. The other group is going to go to Uganda and South Sudan. So that's what's coming up. Our next course is going to start at the end of February, and that'll have 3 months of training on the YWAM campus, followed by 2 months mission trip, probably in Central Asia, China/Central Asia.
So I want to add to that, if I can. That end of the February trip, folks, I'm planning on going on that. And if you guys want to get behind and support someone that's interested in going and being involved in it, feel free to actually get a hold of us. We'll put some more information out in the next couple of weeks and let us know that you'd be interested in being a part of and supporting that. So we're going to get back to the show.
So we have that. Those are kind of for people that are interested in either you want kind of that 5 or 6 month personal investment in missions, or you're thinking, you know what, I might be called to missions more long term. That's a great way to explore that, is through the Discipleship Training School or the Crossroads Discipleship Training School program. If you're interested in getting behind us financially, then any donation you would send is tax deductible, and you can send a check, and or you can even give stock. You could contact us about how to do that, or you can give online, and you can do that also at ywamchico.com, and there's a button there for donations, and you can also give online, and all of those donations are tax deductible, and they help us with the ongoing work of missions that we're called to. And so we'd be blessed by any of those.
Tori?
Greg, thank you for being on the program today. It certainly blessed me and Curtis as well. I know Curtis has been telling me how much he enjoys being up at Richardson Springs and being a part of Chico YWAM. And I know that he is growing spiritually as well, being able to be a part of what you've got going on. Listeners, thank you so much for being a part of Christ Today. If you would like to write us, please do so at KKXX 1363 Longfellow Avenue, Chico, California, 95926. Make that attention, Christ Today. You can also call us at 530-894-7325. And if you need prayer, please call my cell phone directly. Again, I'm Corey Tipp at 530-864-1111. And Curtis, if the Lord tarries, we'll be back next week.
Before we get off the air, let's pray.
You want to go for that? Sure.
You want to do it?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this wonderful Christ Today radio show that you have blessed us with and the ability to do it, Father. We're so grateful for the wonderful work that you're doing through Craig and YWAM, and how YWAM is able to reach around the world for the glory of God. And we thank you, Lord, for our listeners, that if they need prayer, Lord God, or if they need you, that they would just reach out and call upon your name, and you will answer it. We'll give you the praise and the glory.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.
Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lions Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lions Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lions Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise, on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.
Here at Sycamore Glen, we actually like to think of ourselves as a senior resort.
Every day is just like home. It is home. I love it here.
We encourage people to come down and visit us and to take a tour, to look around, to have lunch on us or dinner on us and experience Sycamore Glen. Not the lifestyle you need, but the lifestyle you've earned.
That's Sycamore Glen. For more information, call 894-0384.